my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Everyone, welcome to episode 328 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. And it is March 1st. It is a new month, and it is time for Two is Greater Than One. Tyler Heath Hatton of Stride Pro Wrestling joins me. And Tyler, the month of March, also a big deal because it is the anniversary of Stride Pro Wrestling, at least doing shows. Now, I know, I think I remember correctly, you started Stride a bit before the actual show started, and you were doing some training to get us kind of ready for that first event.
Yeah, we started, a few weeks before, because when we started Stride, we were, I knew I wanted to do shows eventually, but that was not the game plan. The game plan was really, honestly, to do some training at first, and so that's pretty much what we did, and that's pretty much just what we focused on. And then, as you know, training went on, we decided, yeah, let's run some shows.
And that was it blows my mind to think about it. 5 years ago, it was March 12th, 2016, and actually on March 13th, almost 5 years to the day, will be the 5-year anniversary for Stridiversary. And I know there have been obviously ups and downs through all of, you know, I think any company experiences that. And I remember, you know, those early days being at the mall. It was nice, it was convenient, but obviously the situation that the mall was going through at that time was not necessarily conducive to trying to keep a business up and running and going and building that fan base, even though we had some shows, Buried Alive, for example, that had that massive audience, and even that very first show, but we bounced around that mall so much as well. But kind of looking back on the last 5 years, what are your thoughts on where Stride has been and where it is now?
I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I'm very happy with what we've been able to accomplish. I mean, you know, so actually me and Sam, general manager Sam, we went through and looked, and sorry for you that can hear it, I'm at the car wash.
Yeah, it's okay.
But if you can hear it in the background. But anyway, we went back, and we actually have done 82 shows.
Wow.
So, so that is amazing. And then I keep a spreadsheet on my computer, and we've raised about $110,000 for local places. So, you know, that to me is what's the most amazing. That's what, like, you know, that's what gives me the most pleasure, or mm-hmm. makes me the most happy with what we've been able to do. More than, you know, I think the crowd sizes and, you know, putting really honestly close to 700 people in Frankfurt, or having, you know, well over 600 for the APW Resurrection, that's neat. But mm-hmm. to me, the amount of money we've raised for places is trumps all that.
That, you know, and that is remarkable. And I am not a math guy, and I don't have my calculator out. But, you know, obviously 82 shows, and not all of those shows were obviously fundraising events. So that just says a lot to me about the, you know, the attitude of giving back. And I know that was something that you really instilled early on in those early days of Stride. And I'm trying to think back. I think that Redbird Rumble that you mentioned in West Frankfort was one of the very first fundraisers we did. That was the night that you won the championship from Axe Allworth. And I feel like that really, after that event, it really kind of Stride felt more cemented and a bit more legitimized in terms of being a force of being able to reach a lot of people and raise a lot of money. And like you said, whether it's a school group or we've done, you know, those fundraisers for families who have been in need with a sick loved one or whatever the case may be, it's just always been good. And like you said, it kind of trumps that, you know, giving back kind of trumps all of the other vanity statistics, if you will. But why was it that so important to you in those early days to make this about not only good storytelling, but also about giving back to the communities? Because you've been able to kind of hopscotch around these different towns and schools and whatnot and make an impact and make a difference in some of those communities.
I mean, well, the main thing for me was always, you know, I wanted to give people a place to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And so I said this a million times on this podcast. When I started it, you know, it was other companies were running in the area and they were not booking certain people, you know, and the Farmer Billy Hills, the Tony Floods, you know, the Jay Spades, Axe Allworth, they weren't getting booked. And they are, and they're loyal people, you know, they're really good talent, in my opinion, and they just weren't getting booked. So, you know, and you know, even for you to get to announce and stuff like mm-hmm. that, you know, that's why I started it.
Did you think 5 years ago that, you know, that number, you know, would be so high in terms of over 110 or right around $110,000 raised for so many different groups and, you know, 82 shows under the belt too. That's, you know, 'cause I can remember some months where we would do a couple of shows and those fundraising events and whatnot. So none of that too shabby at all.
Well, I really didn't answer the question about that. I'm sorry, but yeah, it was, I didn't see that. And why it was so important. And I guess I should have put a second part to that answer was, you know, I started it for, you know, everybody else and for those people to get to have a place to wrestle. And I really wanted to do it for them. And then, but I knew, and this is what I have realized. If you look at all the major, unless you're a major company with a TV deal, it's very hard to keep going. Mm-hmm. And you have to have good storytelling, but a good group of guys that just buy in. And I've always used, you know, Herb Simmons as an example at SICW with him and Larry. They had a good group of guys, and they still do, that buy in and follow what they do and what they believe in. And that always was kind of what I wanted. And I knew that my wrestling, I had built that with these guys. And so I reached out to them, and I, like I said, guys, I'm not going to invest a bunch of money into this wrestling company. And we'll just talk about it. You know, that's what AAPW did. That's mm-hmm. what Pro Wrestling Collision did. They sank money into it, and they put money and they put money and they put money, and they dug themselves too deep of a hole. And, you know, they were paying out the wahoo in a for talent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then, you know, you know, you worked at WSIL, so you knew how much a show costs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of the thing. We've talked about this before. You know, you have to have a salesperson that's going out selling sponsorships and mm-hmm. selling stuff. And as far as I know, you know, I had brought in the most sponsorship for those places. And yeah. So, you can make money. And this is like, I was actually talking to Axe, on the phone the other day, and we were talking about it. And I was like, to make money, to really come ahead at a wrestling show, I said, you have to have 300 or 400 fans. I said, that's how you have to make money at a wrestling show. And I'm like, if anybody tells you otherwise, they're lying. To have a successful where you're paying people, and you're paying for the venue and everything else, the insurance and all that, you have to have 300 or 400 people to really turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And so to really make a bunch of money. I knew by the other places that we worked at that that's really hard to do on a consistent basis. There's way too much going on in the area. You know, it's like if there's an event going on somewhere, the lights parade in Carbondale, or, you know, Black Diamond has a free fair or an all night skate or a softball tournament or prom, like, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to work around all those things. So I told the guys, I was like, look, I want to do this so we have a place local to wrestle. This is why I want to do it. But like, we're going to have to be cheap, and we're going to have to just do it and be known as a giving company, somebody that does things and donates to other people. And I'm like, if we can do that, I think we can be successful, because I'm not going to go broke. I'm not going to lose money. And we'll be able to say, hey, we gave this person $8,000. We gave this person $5,000. And, you know, we have such a good group of guys that just enjoy wrestling each other, or being around each other. And so I think that, like, that is why, you know. And And it's not to knock other companies. You know, I think the Anna Fight Underground kids, they use the same guys. They have the same core group of guys. And I think that's what it takes. You know, if you look at, like an IWAP or whatever, you know, their core group of guys changes a lot. And so then your fan base changes a lot, and you know, they've moved around and stuff. And so I think with us, what's made successful is the core group of guys, where it's like, you know, people chant for Kevin, you know, and we're able to do things where you tag in and the crowd erupts, because even though you're an announcer, we make you part of the show, mm-hmm. or part of the group, or Lane as a ref, you know. And even recently, we've had some trainees refing, and the crowd gets on them for not being very good. But like, everybody's a part of the show, and it's a core group. And when somebody new comes out, like, the crowd doesn't really embrace them. Yeah. And it's to me, that's fun, because that kind of shows that, like, our crowd knows our people and they know our group. And that's why I think it's worked. And did I think we would do 82 shows? Like, no. I thought eventually the mall would close and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when the mall closed, we still had agreements. I think that was the year we had an agreement with Woodlawn. And then, so we were doing that show. And then Jerry Travel Said had booked two shows. And then Wes Frankfurt and me were in talks with a show. So I didn't want to, and I think we had Christopher, and then we had the Christopher Fair. So I'm like, we don't need to end, because I've already got these shows coming. So yeah. Then I found a way to keep it going.
Yeah. Excuse me. And that has always been, to me, what has been special about all of this too, is you talk about that, that core group, and you've got the veterans like Shane Rich now, and Axe Allward, and Jay Spade, who had been in some of these other local companies, but you've been able to use that training school as a place to, and right now, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched No Love Lost, but Riser, who was a trainee, is now the heavyweight champion. And you've got Scott Phoenix and Dexter Roswell, and they're all in these very high-profile, important matches. So, you know, great for companies who do bring in the big names, and they're in for a month, and then they're gone the next. But really, what I've always enjoyed about Stride is the fact that that foundation was laid, you know, night one of you're going to use people who are around this area, who we know who they are, they're reliable, you can trust them, and then you're going to pepper in these young men and women who are wanting to learn this craft and become wrestlers themselves. And I think that has really paid off, because I'm looking at the Strideversary poster, and you know, you've got Bud Gallows and Savion Ayers, and like I mentioned, Phoenix and Dexter Roswell and Riser, you know, all guys that were, and Dalton Anthony, and you know, these are all guys that trained under you, and now they're all sharing a poster with you. I mean, it's got to be a flattering experience for them, but it's also got to be humbling for you to see that these are the fruits of your labor, and these guys are all in high-profile matches on what will arguably be one of the biggest events for Stride's history of the five-year anniversary.
I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of a curse, and you know, because a lot of these guys go out other places and they don't, you know, and I'm going to pick, you know, I know Lane listens and Lane's going to pick, get mad I'm picking on him, but you know, like we had went to a different company recently and I took him and he got some not so flattering feedback. Mm-hmm. And cause it's a different level. And, you know, and Lane texts me and he says, so be honest, do I suck? Am I terrible? And I was like, no, you don't suck. You're not terrible. At Stride, what I didn't like is when I started Stride about other places that I've been is the negativity that comes with wrestling. And, you know, and it's, you know, it can be, you know, it's, you know, like, you know, you messaged me before, you know, and it's been like, are you okay? Or, you know, what's going on? Because it can be a very negative thing. And just recently I've been listening to a lot of Conan and Disco's podcast. Mm. And Conan said something that was like, he said, like, this business will like eat you up and chew you up and swallow you if you don't let it. And he's like, all of us that make it, like, well, instead of getting swallowed, they spit us out. And we survived, like, and he said, and it like really resonated with me, because you have to have extremely, extremely tough skin, you know. Mm-hmm. I can remember somebody commented that, you know, you were a terrible announcer on one of our posts. Mm-hmm. And then I actually, you know, messaged that guy and gave him my piece of mind, you know, but in this business, that's just the way it is. I mean, I probably been, you know, people love to take shots and take digs at people in this business. And so that's the one thing I've always hated about the wrestling business is that side of it. So at Stride, that's not allowed.
Yeah.
And so that's the part that worries me about the training, is a lot of these guys don't know how to handle that feedback now. They don't know how to handle that negative feedback. And but at Stride, I feel like it works because I am positive. I am encouraging. And I am like, you know, okay, well, you know, because there's so many times guys will message me and I want to write back. That is the worst idea I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how can you possibly think that's a good idea? But I don't. But that's the way it is at other places.
Like, right.
That's the way the wrestling industry is. And we've had trainees that got mad at me, and I'm pretty nice and pretty encouraging with these trainees and very patient with them. And so, and luckily Jay Spade is too. Jay Spade is great with them as well. And we've had people quit because they thought we were too mean and we were too,
wow,
malicious towards them. And so you like, that's, I think that's kind of the generation we're in now, but
yeah.
But a lot of it is, but with that being said, like that's what worries me about that is how the wrestling business is. And without Stride, you know, I guess you look at not picking on anybody, like Scott Phoenix, like he doesn't go anywhere else and wrestle. Mm-hmm. And he was at somebody else's show and somebody yelled at him. Yeah. And like, and that's not fun. And it's not, but that's the way it is. And, you know, and so I've tried to be different, but I think where all this was going was, I think that's why Stride works, because it is positive. I do work with people. I am patient, and I do allow them to grow into what they want to grow in. And I try to help them understand, you know, like, you know, Dexter, you mentioned Dexter being on the poster, you know, Dexter really, he wanted to be Bloody Dexter, and he took that character to Cape, and it didn't work. They didn't do anything with it, because like I explained to him, it's a guy covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
You're the same guy. Now you just have blood on you. And now, you know, I understand there's a show called Dexter where he murders people, but we can't say you're a murderer.
Right.
Because how does that equivalent to being a good wrestler?
Right, right.
Because, yeah, you murder people at night, but I can't have you murder somebody in the wrestling ring. So, like, what is this? We have to make it a character. If not, you're just a guy covered in blood, you know? And that's kind of like why the Steen character worked. They made him, you know, something. And that's why, you know, I felt like the Steen character worked, was because he was completely different than what he was before. When he was the you know, the blonde haired, mm-hmm. you know, almost Hoganish type of guy. Now all of a sudden he's this dark guy up in the thing. But he was that guy for a year, you know, before he actually came down. And so like that's what I've done with these guys, has been like, no, let's make this character something. Let's make it make it mean something. And I think a lot of these guys are spoiled at Stride because of that. And it worries me that if they ever go somewhere else and somebody is viciously honest with them, how they would handle that. Because, you know, and you can ask Lane, or anybody can ask Lane. I really, before we went to this company, I had to prep Lane and tell him, they are going to be viciously honest with you. They're not going to hold back. So they're going to tell you how they feel, and they're going to tell you viciously and very mean, like, what they think. And you have to have tough skin. And AJ Styles said it best on his documentary. Nobody likes a butt man or an excuse man, like a but.
Yeah.
Like, you keep your mouth shut and you yes, no, because they don't care about the things that you do right. They just notice the things you do wrong. So, you know, if you're you're playing baseball and you can catch the ball really well, but if you can't hit, they're not going to sit you down and just talk about how amazing you are catching the ball. They're going to tell you, we can't use you, or you need to work on hitting, because you're never going to get to play if you can't hit. So that's how it is outside of Stride. And, you know, the trainees, I think they are very spoiled. They have it very well here because of that. And I think that's why it works, because you have a good group of guys encouraging them.
I think I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I want to hear your perspective on it. But what are you most proud of? The work that you do in the ring, the work you do behind the scenes with the creative and nurturing and developing this other talent?
I mean, I'm more proud of the creative. I'm more proud of being able to tell stories. You know, I won't say his name because he'll get mad, but I had a fan message me after the last show, and he's somebody who likes to razzle me, mm-hmm. and you know, and that's kind of his thing, and you can probably figure out who it is. But he messaged me, and he was like, "You are so good at writing stories. Like, you completely like tricked us, and like the way it was laid out and the way you did it." And so that, to me, being able, you know, I call people marks, but I don't really, you know, I call you a mark,
right,
but that's what I like, because I'm a mark. So being able to be tricked or not know, you know, when we're in that group chat and they ask us to fill out the form, I I pick the same guys every time because they're my favorite guys.
Right, right.
And I'm like, you know, like, so it's like, I know AJ Styles is not going to win the Elimination Chamber. I know that, but I pick him anyway because he's my favorite.
Sure.
And so, I mean, and that's just, and so I'm probably a terrible person to, to put in that because that's what I'm going to do. But whenever you're able to, you know, like, to me, like, I would be tricked if AJ Styles did win it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'm not really tricked that The Miz cashed in. Because we knew it was coming when they gave him the thing back. We knew, like, so,
yeah,
I was surprised that it happened. But you know what's going to happen eventually. So, like, I do kind of, like, I, like, so that doesn't really surprise me. But it's like where Christian beats, you know, whoever it was and won the title. And then he wrestles Randy Orton on SmackDown and loses. Like, that tricks me. Like, that surprises me. Mm-hmm. Or, like, Jinder Mahal won. Like,
right.
That tricks me. That surprises me. So, that's what I enjoy. That's what I like, is being surprised, being tricked, being like, whoa. Like, because because from there, you can usually see the direction something's going. And when they do something like that, you're kind of like, whoa. You know, where are they going with that? You know, it's like, that's why I really liked when Goldberg, you know, squashed Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa. And so then you can kind of see where they're going to go with it. And it's like, okay, like, so now you're going to tell a story that I did not see coming. And so, like, that's what I enjoy. So being able, I feel like I've done, and I don't really, you know, really like patting myself on the back. But I like being able to tell those stories. And then, you know, like, you know, this whole thing with Riser, telling that story and incorporating myself and Cash and Roger and Axe, and like almost like being able to take everybody else's story, everybody else's feud, adding it all in. And then, you know, being able to, you know, we did I called Cash and I called Roger and I called Axe, and I'm like, okay, here's what I want. Here's the end. So being able to incorporate all of it and then being able to, like surprise the fans and it all coming together, like that's like, you know, what does it for me and like what makes me happy. The training aspect of it, I won't lie. Early on, I really enjoyed it because it was seeing people get it and seeing people understand. But like now, like I don't enjoy that as much because I will just be honest. You know, like, you know, me and you talked before the thing started about, you know, OVW. I get to do TV matches and I get to do stuff because of the way I look. And I understand that.
Sure.
I'm not, you know, I've never said that I thought I was an amazing wrestler, but I understood that people would say John Cena's not an amazing wrestler or Hulk Hogan's not an amazing wrestler. However, the way they look give them opportunities. And so, like the training part of it, you know, people, once they learn how to wrestle, they don't understand. Unless you look the part, it takes you a lot longer to get to the top, or it takes you a lot longer to get recognized. And I found that the trainees, like they, when they come in, they struggle with that because once they learn how to wrestle and they do stuff, they're like, well, I'm just as good as that guy. Or somebody could be like, I'm just as good as Axe Allward. And it's like, yeah, but like, look at Axe. One, he has a gimmick, and two, he's in really good shape. He's been doing this a long time,
yeah.
But like, you know, where it's like, well, it's not fair that Roger gets to do this. Well, it's look at Roger, you know? And then it's, you know, Jay Spade was never a champ until Stride. So look how long that took him. So, you know, that's the struggle with trainees, is they do that, and then they also, like, you know, once you learn how to wrestle and you can have a match, you think that you can do more, or you think you should get to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always necessarily the case. And then it's, you know, you have to pay your dues. And I found that a lot of trainees just, they do not want to pay their dues, you know, or they learn, you know, that they, or they, you know, like even now. So, I mean, now that you got me on this kick, like that's, you know,
well, there's a lack of patience, I think.
What's that?
There's a lack of patience.
There is. And that's, you know, me and you had talked about this, and I'll just say it, you know, I was really debating closing Stride after May. And a lot of it is, it's because of the lack of patience. And, you know, the training, when I started the training, my thought process was, I'll be able to train and get a group of guys, and then that can wrestle. We have a local place now, because I would have killed for a local place to wrestle.
Sure.
A local place to go to with a ring and practice. And, you know, I think that's why me and Spade come up and still do training, is because we understand that we had to drive to Albany.
Yeah.
And pitch in gas money to train. And so I think, like, that's what really just frustrates me about the training side of it, is anybody who's graduated and trained from Stride should be coming to practice once every couple weeks and practicing with these guys and giving back, and they don't. And the only one who really did it was Red Daniels, and he did it 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's the thing, is he has a demanding job. And I think, and that's kind of why he got burnt out, because it was him, you know, training twice a week and then having shows. He got a little, you know, burnt out, because you have to stay patient, even though the wrestlers aren't patient. And it's very, you know, it's very frustrating that, you know, it is, you know, me and Spade running practice every single week, and there's all these guys that trained and graduated, and they never come up, and they never help, and they never give back. And it's very, very frustrating, and it's very disheartening that, you know, that they don't do that. And so that's a lot of the frustrations and why I just don't enjoy the training side of it.
Well, you know, and you had mentioned a few minutes ago that message that you received after the last show, which was no love lost. And the thing I liked about the way the Stride Cup cash-in went, with Riser, you know, winning Stride-iversary or Stride Cup at last year's Stride-iversary, and holding on to that opportunity to cash in, was the fact that Axe Allwart was the champion. And, you know, Riser and Axe had some really great matches during the summer of 2019. And that's kind of where Axe, I felt like, really doubled down on the old school gimmick and the, you know, millennial trash, and, you know, kind of beating up these young guys. And for Riser to kind of come back in and you know, give Axe his comeuppance, if you will. But the structure of how you guys got there, because you're watching this, what started off as a match between Cash and Axe, and then it turns into a triple or a fatal four-way. You know, any four, you know, Roger Mathis, Heath Hatton, Cash Borden, Axe Allwart, I can see any four of these guys walking out of the ring with that belt. But then all of a sudden, Riser becomes the fifth man, so to speak, and totally unexpected, and good for him. And it was great storytelling, you know, that slow burn for the whole year that he had the briefcase. And you know, you saw him earlier in the night get pinned in that tag team championship match. So, you know, it was just really well done, and done, I might add, before Miz cashed in his money in the bank. But really a good job, I thought, from everyone who was a part of that. And I know, obviously, you mentioned that you talked to everybody and kind of got everybody on the same page for it. So great direction there, and a great payoff at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I, like, that's the thing with Riser is, some people just get it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gets it. And you know, and that's what I like about him is, you know, like when I called him and I said, hey, I think I want to put this new guy Peyton with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, and a lot of people would have been like, no, I kind of want to be by myself, or like, I want to be my own character, or I don't want to have a bodyguard. And the thing is Riser is a buff guy,
mm-hmm.
and he has a good look, but it's like, but I really liked when Dolph Ziggler had Drew McIntyre with him.
Yeah.
I like that AJ Styles has that guy with him, Omis or whatever, Oman, mm-hmm. whatever his name is. But when I was putting the story together, I thought you have all these big guys, and I wanted to do it during a fatal four way. So it looked like any one of us four could win. And I wanted an equalizer.
Yeah.
So when I called Riser and I said, he didn't even argue. He's like, I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
And then he like, and then when I call him and I say, hey, you're going to lose in the tag match. He's like, oh, I get it. Oh yeah, I get it. Because he knew, like, we wanted to make it look like he was, you know, at the bottom. Like, mm-hmm. he just gets it. He just completely gets it. And, you know, a lot of guys, you'll be like, hey, I need you to lose. And he'll be like, well, can he do this?
Yeah.
And it's like, the Riser's like, okay, I'll lose. And then he's like, and what he gets, and this is what a lot of guys don't get, is he goes up to them and he realizes this match, this tag match is not about me. This whole tag match is about the wrestling buddies. So what does he do? But him and Peyton don't really do anything in the match,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't need to. His moment was later on.
Yeah.
And so that's where a lot of these guys don't get it, where they, like, you know, I'll be like, okay, Axe, you know, you're going to beat Roger in 6 months. And so Axe realizes my moment is in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So these other 6 months don't matter. Like, it needs to be all about Roger.
Yeah.
Because to give Roger his moment, these other guys, they don't get it. They try to make it about themselves for those 6 months. And you have guys like Axe, you know, or Riser or Jay Spade, who they understand that. And that's why I've always got to do the things that I've done, is because there's a time when you realize this match is not about me. My moment is at this time. This moment is about them, so let's make it about them, because that's what this is about. And Riser, like, he is just a walking example of that, of how that is.
Well, it's going to be a great title defense, his first title defense against Axe Allward again at Strideversary, which is coming up on Saturday night, March 13th. You're getting back in there with, you know, I would say a frenemy of sorts in Cash Borden. You guys were tag team partners for a little bit there during Stride Cup tag team tournament. And now this time it's a no disqualification grudge match. And we've seen what, you know, you mentioned Anna Fight Underground, and we know that Cash is heavily involved with that. So does a no DQ grudge match intimidate you at all when you're in there against a guy like Cash Borden?
I mean, I'm not really too scared of Cash. So, you know, like, I think it'll be a good match. You know, I know, you know, we're planning on stealing the show, and I know he may actually really want to hurt me. but, you know, I feel pretty safe. I feel pretty confident. So, you know, we'll see, but, you know, he definitely wanted a no DQ match. He kind of feels like that's his lane. So, you know, like, yeah, I think it's going to be one of those matches that is very interesting and can steal the show. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, 2 years ago at Strideversary, you were in that Iron Man match with Tony Flood. Cash was in that dog collar match with Jay Spade, and arguably two of the best matches in the history of Stride Pro Wrestling. So no pressure, but I know that you two will both put on a hell of a match and a hell of a show. And I'm also really looking forward to this No Limits Championship. This is the series finale. It's an I Quit match. Dexter Roswell, who won the championship a year ago, I can't believe it's been a year already, from Bo Sawyer. But he and Scott Phoenix have had beef for a while now, and we mentioned this best of seven series, and there have been different matches and different styles going on through all of this. Really great storytelling going on here as well. The storytelling and the wrestling are on par. This one also has a lot of potential, I think, too, with this I Quit situation going on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. They, you know, both of those are both, you know, we talked a lot about trainees, both trainees under me, and I feel like I've kind of had a hand in each match, and I, you know, I've given a lot of feedback after each match and how, you know, it's got to build and how each match has to build and has to go a different direction. And, you know, I can remember Scott, messaged, and the first match was going to be just a regular match. And he messaged just a regular match. And I'm like, yeah, it's the best of seven. There's seven different matches.
Yeah.
You know, one of them can be a regular match, just a regular pinfall. Like that's, you know, that does happen in wrestling. So, you know, it's been a very, I think, good learning experience for them, learning how to have different matches and tell different stories towards, you know, each person. And they, you know, and I think it's been very interesting, and they've both done a great job with it.
So that's, you know, those are three of the big matches that have been announced and are on the poster. Any other matches or previews you want to give to listeners before we wrap things up?
Peyton Ayers is going to wrestle Roger.
Oh, wow.
Mathis.
Yeah, he kind of went after Roger in that Fatal 4-Way, which kind of surprised me. So he's a big guy, and so is Roger. That'll be a good one, too.
And then Bud Galloway will wrestle Savion, and the winner gets to paint Wham on their opponent's back.
Love it.
Brandon Espinoza and Joey O'Reilly will wrestle the Wrestling Buddies.
Oh, that'll be good.
And then Shane Rich is going to defend the Legacy belt. And then Daniel Eads is going to compete in a gauntlet match. So,
wow.
That will round out pretty much the card. There may be a few surprises. But yeah, that's the card for right now.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. It is Stridiversary. This is obviously the 6th March that we've had a show, and you know, I mentioned two of those matches that stand out to me from Stridiversary. Do you have a favorite Stridiversary match or moment over the last 6 years?
It's really hard to pinpoint. Mm-hmm. The Red Daniels return,
yeah,
that noise was remarkable to me. My favorite match that I was not a part of, the dog collar match, really stands out. I'm really happy with the that Stridiversary seems to be like, you know, like the golden rainbow or goose that we're chasing.
Yeah.
Because that was just, I don't know why, but that was just such a phenomenal year. And you know, coming from the 700 fans at Frankfurt to the 500 fans at Johnson City, right into, you know, that Stridiversary and all the stories that were told, and, you know, the slow burn for Red Daniels, and that whole Stridiversary, Jay Wells versus Axe Allward, you know, that was, I just don't like that storytelling for that year was just, you know, the Battle Bowl build and that whole Stridiversary as a whole, I kind of felt like that was like, it's hard to pinpoint a specific, you know, time. Like the Iron Man to me was special, and it was great. And then the dog collar, and then just, you know, that to me was that whole event. It really just seems like, and I really think last year, what could have been on that same level, because we told some really good stories. And, you know, we had the debut of Bloody Dexter, and then Cash and Axe, and Red had an amazing triple threat.
Yeah.
And so we had a lot of, you know, the Wrestling Buddies versus, you know, Roger and the Kings of Destiny or whatever, but COVID happened. And then that really just, we didn't know if we should have it. We didn't know, you know, we didn't really know what COVID was. And so, but that Strideversary, to me was just, like kudos to the talent, because everybody just bought in. Everybody just like was, you know, so dedicated to the stories and so dedicated to, you know, to telling what needed to be told. And, you know, we had, at that time we were having, you know, we had Pinckneyville and we had Johnson City and West Frankfort. So we were having two shows a month, and they were able to keep the stories going. And they really just, they bought in as a whole. And that, to me, that whole Strideversary was just the, you know, the golden goose, because, you know, the second one, we got kicked out of the building. We had to find an impromptu building.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really bad draw because we had to move. Nobody really knew where we were. So, like, that was, you know, a very sad, you know, disappointing one. But I, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, and then the debut was special because that was a massive crowd. But that whole Strideversary was just a, like, it was, you know, I just, we talked about it before. It was just a magical night. And we did that without a name. We did that without,
right.
We did that with our talent, and we made, I mean, we sold that place out, and it was the storytelling, and it was the guys. And that to me is like what you hope for and what you want. And like I said, last year would have been the same. This year, I mean, I go to our YouTube and I see all our views, and I'm like, our fans are still there.
Yeah.
They're still there. We're just, you know, I'm fully vaccinated. Other people are getting vaccinated. Hopefully, we are moving towards next year having a amazing Strideversary. And, you know, the Miners booked a couple shows. So we are moving towards being able to get back to where we were. And, you know, I'm just hoping we can keep on and keep on pushing and just make it a little bit longer.
All righty. And Tyler did mention the Stride Pro Wrestling YouTube channel. Head over there, get caught up on past matches and whatnot. And if you can't join us for Strideversary, the show will be there. But we encourage you, message the Facebook page, head on over, look for Stride on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, YouTube. Tyler, anything else you want to say before we wrap up this week's show?
That's it.
All right, man. I appreciate your time. I appreciate, you know, the path that you've put Stride on and all these folks that have come in and trained and learned and have been able to give back to our community. So if you're also interested down the road, as Tyler mentioned, you know, fundraisers are going to become a thing again too, and Stride will be ready to help you with that as well. Just message our page at facebook.com/StrideProWrestling. Thanks for listening, and we will talk again next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.